The Christian faith is a gift of God's grace. The Christian life is a gift of God's grace. We live by faith in the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us.
Pastor Peter Bender talking about his presentation at this summer's Issues Etc. Making the Case conference.
And that means that our Lutheran piety is also a gift. All too often we see it as another work of the law, something that we must do. Instead, Christ meets us there with his word and spirit, and in our daily devotional life, he teaches us what it is to live by faith in the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us.
You can meet and hear Pastor Peter Bender making the case for Lutheran piety Friday, June 9th and Saturday, June 10th at the Issues Etc. Making the Case conference in Collinsville, Illinois. For more information, visit issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. The Issues Etc. Making the Case conference. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We've been talking about Martin Luther's fourfold strand prayer. We come to the subject of Thanksgiving, and Thanksgiving is a tough one. It's kind of like repentance. Our first go-to impulse is to think, well, we got to feel it. It's really about feeling it when it comes to repentance, and Thanksgiving is similar. I got to really feel it, don't I? Feel grateful, and what is grateful actually feel like? Maybe, like repentance, Thanksgiving isn't primarily about what you feel. Joining us for part 11 of our series on Christian devotion, talking about Thanksgiving, Pastor Brian Wolfmiller, pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in Aurora, Colorado, co-host of a weekly radio talk show called Table Talk Radio, and author of the new resource, The Devotional Challenge Book. Brian, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you, Todd.
We tend to think about Thanksgiving in a similar way as Christians we think about repentance. Repentance means sorrow and feeling bad, and really it's an emotional thing. And we tend to think of Thanksgiving in the same way. I need to feel it in order to do it, so to speak. Why should we be warned against that kind of thinking about Christian Thanksgiving?
Sure. We talked about this last time, I think, too, and I want to come back to it, is this difference between the magisterial use of our emotions versus the ministerial use of our emotions. In other words, it's our emotional life and our feelings are an important part of who we are, but do they stand above God's word or do they stand below God's word? And I want to suggest that our emotions, if they are acting in accord with God's law, then they stand under the Lord's law, not above it. So we have the reality of what the Lord does before we feel it, and in fact, that reality is more important than our feelings. So thankfulness is not simply an emotional response or a feeling that we have, but thankfulness is, in fact, it's part of our Christian discipline. It's to acknowledge what the Lord has done, the gifts that he's given, the service that he's rendered, the kindness that flows from his fatherly heart and from the life and death and resurrection of his son Jesus, to recognize those things. And the joy and the feeling of thankfulness properly follows the work that the Lord has done first outside of us.
So that's why when we think about Thanksgiving, our tendency is to kind of start with the emotion. When you say it's really about identifying the gifts that God gives.
Yeah, that's exactly it. So that Thanksgiving, really like all of our Christian life, is a response. So we love because he first loved us. We give thanks because he first served us. So the Lord is always the one who initiates and acts and does and gives. And it is now part of the work of the Holy Spirit that he leads us to acknowledge it and to give thanks to him for it. So that one of the gifts, as Luther teaches us when he's unfolding the Lord's Prayer for us, you know, the Lord gives daily bread to all people, but we pray in this petition that by his Spirit we would recognize it and give thanks for it. So that the Holy Spirit comes along and opens up our eyes to see the world around us as a tremendous gift from God. And especially to see these things in the Scriptures, where the Lord's gifts are rained down upon us and his promises are lavished on us, unlike anything else in the world. And we see that. And the response is, it's the natural spiritual response. It's the spiritual consequences. We recognize those things, and we give thanks to God for them.
Now, would you, just by way of review, relate this part, Thanksgiving, to the first strand that we talked about last time, instruction.
Yeah, and we're working through a kind of 4 weeks on Luther's fourfold strand of prayer. And in fact, what it is it's almost creating habits, not only for prayer, but also for reading the Bible. So Luther suggests that when we read the Scripture, we weave out of the Scripture a fourfold strand of prayer. The first is instruction. The second is thanksgiving. The third is repentance, contrition. And the fourth is petition, asking the Lord for things. So we talked about last week how we look at the text and we say, well, what's it mean? What is God teaching His church and me as a Christian? What is He teaching me in this text? And then that leads very naturally into the second part, is thanksgiving. We thank the Lord for His instruction, for His wisdom, for His gifts, for His kindness, and for everything else that He gives to us in the text. Now, the reason we're working on it kind of 1 week at a time, I mean, it's one thing just to say we should turn the Scriptures into a fourfold strand of prayer. But I think that the thing that we're after here, Todd, is to practice this, is to take up the Scripture and to begin to craft the habit of asking these questions. Well, what is the Lord teaching me? And then this week, and what is there to be thankful for? I mean, there's so much trouble in this life. Jesus promised that in this world you will have tribulation. And there's so much bad news. We just look around or we hear on the radio or in the papers or whatever, you know, all the terrible bad things that are happening. And there's so many things to be sorrowful about. There's so many things to be afraid of. This question, the question of thankfulness, is training us to look at the Scriptures and to look at this life, well, with thanksgiving, with an attitude of and a posture of gratefulness to God. And it's really important. It's going against the flesh and the world and the devil, who would love to steal away all of our joy and all of our peace and all of our thankfulness. And it's remembering that being thankful, grateful for the gifts that God has given, is one of the chief marks of the Christian. It's one of the fruits that the Holy Spirit works in our lives.
So let's talk about what this actually looks like in terms of the prayer that we're discussing here. What does thanksgiving look like or sound like?
Well, we want to base our prayer off of the text of the Scripture. So we want to first read the Scripture, and then I have, at least in the Devotional Challenge book here, I've got these two questions. So basically, I give everyone a chapter or two chapters of the Bible, and then the questions are, what does it teach me, and what does this text give me? What are the gifts of God that this text reminds me of, that this text puts in front of me? And that becomes the content of our thankfulness. For example, we had Romans 1 as one of the texts that we are reading this week. And in Romans 1, gift after gift after gift. The list of what do we learn from Romans chapter 1 could be 20 pages. But one of the key texts there is this beautiful and thematic text of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So what does that text teach me? It teaches me that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation, that His promise is what gives me life, that the death and resurrection of Jesus is how I'm saved, not by my own works or my own efforts, and in spite of my own sinfulness. So that's the instruction. So what is there to give thanks for? Well, we give thanks to God for the gift of Christ. And in this way, Todd, you see the difference here. I mean, just to hear, for example, that prayer versus our normal prayers. I think when we just kind of, when we're not shaping our prayers from the Scripture, we're thinking of all the trouble in the world, and we're praying for, you know, protection from violence and for relief for people who are mourning and for some sort of help in time of need. But when we go to the Scripture and pull out of it the gifts of God, now we're thanking the Lord for all of these tremendous gifts that He's done. And we're starting to shape our prayers this way so that we can give thanks to the Lord because He is good and His mercy endures forever. And our prayers are conformed to this.
So it's going to be gift first, then thankfulness. Does thankfulness consist in things other than words?
Tell me what you mean on that.
Well, someone's going to say, it's one thing to say, I'm thankful. It's another to live a life of gratitude.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. It doesn't. I mean, I know what you're getting at there. I'm a little bit hesitant because you have all these old and bad sermon series from the old evangelicals, where they, where the whole you have a 10-week sermon series on having an attitude of gratitude.
Yeah.
This sort of thing, and so we're a little hesitant to talk like that. But I think it is right. Reflecting on the gospel and on all the gifts of God that He gives for us, not just for eternal life, but also for our life in this world, that the Christian is thankful. But Jesus tells the parable of the 10 lepers who were healed, and one of them, the Samaritan, comes back instead of going to the temple and showing himself to the priests as according to the law of Moses. He comes back and he falls down at Jesus' feet and he gives thanks to Him. So his thankfulness led him to this action. In fact, there's an old prayer in the old Lutheran agenda that is praying for the sick, and the prayer is that they would recover so that they could return to the Lord's church to give thanks to the Lord for all of His benefits. So that captures that parable really well. So the first act of thankfulness is the act of prayer. And going to church and standing before the Lord's altar and giving thanks to Him there for all of His benefits. And then I think this thankfulness does echo through our, not only our feelings and our emotions, but also our actions. There is a difference in dealing with a person who is thankful for the Lord's gifts than dealing with a person who is no thankfulness, who can't acknowledge anything good in this life, who's just dragged down. They're walking around in a cloud, kind of gloomy. There's a typical picture. This kind of drives me crazy. There's a typical picture of the Lutheran, that is that they are grumpy, that they're surrounded by a cloud, this sort of knuckle-headed gloominess, and this is not the way that the Scriptures put forth the Christian life. God has not spared His own Son, but given Him up for us. How shall He not also together with Him give us all things? We're not after a sort of manufactured happiness like the evangelicals want to sort of paste over our faces, this sort of smile, but we are after a genuine gratefulness for all of the gifts that the Lord has given us, all the treasures of heaven, and that should give us some degree of delight.
Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is our guest, part 11 of our series on Christian devotion, Martin Luther's fourfold strand of prayer dealing with thanksgiving. Is this a cure for making Thanksgiving the afterthought of prayer? We'll answer that question after this.
Children are a heritage from the Lord, but what of those who've not been given the gift of a child? The cross of barrenness affects not only childless couples, it affects the family, friends, and pastors who love and care for them. I'm Katie Schuerman, and I'm partnering with Emmanuel Press to publish the second edition of my book, He Remembers the Barren, a story about the hope and contentment found only in Christ, no matter the cross we bear. Visit emmanuelpress.us to learn more. emmanuelpress.us.
An average of 20 military veterans kill themselves every day. Project Operation Barnabas is a network of LCMS congregations who reach out to veterans and their congregations and their communities with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Operation Barnabas is a program of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. Find out more at lcms.org/armedforces. Serving those who serve. LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. lcms.org/armedforces.
Truth-centered mission outreach. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran learning. issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
The Reformation's relevancy, natural law, news discernment, modern-day apostles and prophets, depression, catechizing our children. You can meet and hear Issues Etc. regular guests discussing these topics at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 9th and 10th in Collinsville, Illinois. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Registration is $120. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 9th and 10th in Collinsville, Illinois.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. on this Tuesday afternoon, May the 23rd. It's part 11 of our series on Christian devotion. We're talking about Luther's fourfold strand of prayer, the second one being Thanksgiving. Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is our guest, author of the new resource, The Devotional Challenge Book. Brian, is this kind of putting Thanksgiving second as it goes in these four strands of prayer, is it in some way a cure to making Thanksgiving the afterthought or the end note to many of our prayers?
Yeah. I mean, I think that's fine. It's not, we don't want to lock ourselves in to say, hey, you got to put the thankfulness up front and it can't come at the end. But there is a logical order to Luther's fourfold strand. So there is a way because you're starting with the scripture and you're starting with the Lord's gifts, that it's going to echo out in four different moves. So the first is it's going to teach, and the second it's going to give, and in the giving of the gifts that the Lord has there, you know, in how the Lord gives us Himself and the forgiveness of sins and all these promises, that's going to then show us our own failure, our lack of thankfulness, our lack of faith, our lack of obedience, our lack of anything good at all, so that repentance comes next, and then with repentance we see our great need. So you could then offer the petition there, and then that petition, where we ask the Lord to give us what He's promised, leads us back to the Scriptures themselves, so that the Lord's Word now comes to follow up the petition and give us something more.
Okay, when someone is kind of enumerating the gifts, this is a similar problem to that of confession and repentance, like we started our conversation. Someone says, well, I can't possibly think of all my sins. And it's pretty soon that someone realizes, with respect to Thanksgiving, I can't possibly enumerate all of God's gifts to me. What's your advice?
Well, no, that's right. And it's okay. I mean, just like we confess in the Lord's Prayer all of our sins, even our unknown sins, we forgive us from our hidden faults, we pray according to Psalm 19. So you can never know all the Lord's gifts. I mean, Paul makes this point so beautifully in 1 Corinthians. He said, the mind is not seen or ear heard, all the good things that the Lord has for His people. So that the Lord's goodness is beyond our comprehension. And so as He shows them to us piece by piece, we recognize them and give thanks to them. But we're going to be studying the Scriptures our whole lives, and I think even in heaven, all of these truths are going to be unfolding for us so that we kind of see them one by one and recognize them. But you see, the whole point of this is that Luther is giving us the picture of prayer as a wrestling with the piece of the Scripture. In other words, you just remember just how there was Jacob on the banks of the river Jabbok, And the Lord Jesus came to him and wrestled with him all through the night. I mean, he wasn't standing by himself. He was there wrestling with the Lord, and he wanted a blessing, and he wouldn't let him go, and he touched his hip and all this thing. That this is the picture of prayer. But we normally just think of prayer as ourselves, but what Luther is giving us is, he says, grab a hold of the Scripture and wrestle with it and see what it wants to teach you and how it wants to bless you and how it wants to rebuke you and how the Lord wants to give you what you need. So that as we take the text of the Scripture up into our prayers and we're wrestling with it, these are the four moves that come out of that: this instruction and thanksgiving, repentance and petition.
So we're not worried about if I don't give thanks. This is not an obligation. This is kind of the opposite of an obligation.
Yeah. Exactly. It's all response. It's all a coming and letting the Scripture shape up how it is with us and God. I mean, that's really what repentance is. You know, the Lord comes with His law and works contrition in our heart, and then the Lord comes with His gospel and works faith in our heart. So even repentance, our trust in God, is simply what's happening to us when the Scripture has its way with us. And now Luther is saying, what happens to our prayers if the Scripture has its way with our prayers? And it ends up shaping up something like this. But it's not... you know, it's not a formula. The helpful thing with the list is that it helps us form the habit. So I can say this week, as I read the scripture, what is the instruction and what is the gift? And that helps me to think rightly about the text. It helps me to think more deeply and more profoundly about the text. But the point is that hopefully at some point you grow out of making the list and it becomes simply the natural Christian way of reading the text and the natural Christian way of praying. So that our prayers, again, and maybe this is the whole point, and maybe we've said it too many times, but this is the main thing, is that our prayers are growing out of the Lord's Word. That's what it means to pray in the name of Jesus. That's what it means to pray, not from the depth of our own heart, but to pray from the riches of God's mercy. That's what it means to pray with faith. Faith is what trusts the promise. So if you want to pray with faith, you are praying back to God His promises. So that prayer is not kind of pouring out of the emptiness of our own emotional life, but rather prayer is pouring out of the richness of the Lord's Word.
Give us another example in like an actual text. Obviously, we start with a text wherein we have this cycle so far, the first two strands of instruction and thanksgiving.
Yeah, sure. Well, I always love to look at Psalm 1, where the Lord tells us that blessed is the man who doesn't walk in the way of the wicked or sit in the seat of scoffers or stand in the counsel of the wicked, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And that word delight always sticks out to me. So what does this text teach me? It teaches me that the Lord's word is delightful. That when I go to the scriptures, I'm seeing something that is wonderful. That's the instruction. So what is the thanksgiving? Well, the thanksgiving is that the Lord gives me his word and that he gives me by his Holy Spirit a joy in that word, a delight in the word. That he shows me the wonderful things from his word that are good for me. So that's the thanksgiving. And then the repentance, if we want to follow it all the way through, the repentance is that I've neglected to hear the Lord's word, that I've forgotten to delight in it, that I've neglected simply my reading of the Lord's word. I've despised the preaching and this sort of thing. So I pray that the Lord would give me his Holy Spirit. This is the petition part, the fourth strand, that the Lord would give me his Holy Spirit. So that I do delight in his word, so that I do treasure what he says, so that his words are to me more precious than gold and silver and any such thing. But the thing that I cling to most in life and in death. So this would be another example of how this fourfold strand of prayer would work itself out.
Let's talk about Thanksgiving in a little more general sense, and that is Christians begin to see the opportunity for prayer in every circumstance of life. It just becomes kind of a way of life, the way you go through life, part of your way of thinking, literally your way of thinking. So the classic example, you're driving down the road, you see an accident that's holding up traffic. The Christian's response is to pray.
Yeah, there's basically two, and I think this is a good, Luther has the suggestion in the Large Catechism when talking about the Second Commandment, that as we go through life, we basically have two responses to everything, and they are, Lord have mercy and God be praised. We're going down the street and we see something really horrible, and we pray, Lord have mercy, Christ have mercy, Lord have mercy. We pray the Kyrie there. Or something good happens, something delightful happens, and we say, God be praised. Luther says the children need to learn this, to keep the second commandment. When something good happens, their response is, God be praised. We teach the children to say thank you when someone gives us gifts, but we want to take it another step further and teach the children not only to thank the person that's giving them the gift, but to also to thank God for that. I remember a story. I might have told you this story, Todd, and the people listening, because it made such a profound impression on me. So excuse me if I did, but I remember when I was in high school and we had one of these traveling church choirs coming through. They were singing at church, and so we had a couple of these kids that were staying at our house, and one was an American kid and the other was an African boy, college student. And we were there, and my mom was in the kitchen and said, can I get you guys something to drink? We got some water and iced tea. We have some Coke. And they both said they'd like a Coke. And so my mom gave them both cans of Coke, and this man who was from Africa, this student, he held the Coke in his hand, flat on one hand and wrapped his other hand around it, and he kind of raised it up a little bit, and he said, "God be praised." And I looked at him, and I looked at his Coke, and I looked at my Coke, which was open and halfway finished, and I looked back at him, and I said, "That is to get for a Coke? Wow!" But that was really a profound thing. That was exactly what Luther would have us do in the Second Commandment. Exactly what the Lord's Word would have us do. Really, is to recognize all of these things that we receive in this life as gifts from God, and to give thanks to Him for it, so that this our daily life becomes really the background for our prayers. Lord have mercy, and God be praised.
I suspect, although I do not know for sure, that the story you just told, that for this guy visiting from Africa, a can of Coke was probably not something part of his daily experience. Maybe it was, maybe it wasn't, or maybe he was just that cognizant of God's constant provision. I don't know. But when you have had something threatened and perhaps even taken away, and God gives it back to you, there's an impetus there, isn't there, Brian, for thankfulness. You know, a child's life is spared. And every day that child wakes up, you're thankful for that. Every time you see them, you give thanks to God. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, there is a way that a kind of normalcy steals away our gratitude. You know, when we get used to something, and you get used to it, and you don't notice any difference. But when the Lord breaks that up, when something's almost taken, or when you don't know something, or when something comes to us as a surprise, then there's a new wave of delight that comes over us. So that what we're working towards when we read the Scripture with this question, what is there to be thankful for? What we're working towards is the habit of being surprised by the Lord's mercy. So when we go to the Scripture, we're looking for the surprise of the Lord's kindness. We're not going with this expectation. Here's what I expect. Here's what God's going to give. All this sort of stuff. No, we're going as sinners who should rightly be condemned and thrown down into hell. And we find now everything in life is a grand surprise. That the Lord is always shocking us with His mercy. The gospel is always a surprise. And so when the gospel comes to us and God's goodness comes to us as a surprise, then there's this overflowing of thanksgiving and delight. This is how the sufferings of this world even shape up our prayers and even shape up our thanksgiving, so that when something is taken away from us, we realize the Lord's richness and kind of overflowing bounty that He has for us all the time.
Pastor Brian Wolf Miller is our guest, our series on Christian devotion, talking about thanksgiving. When we come back, there's no hurry in this kind of discipline of Christian prayer. The Issues Etc. book of the month for May is From Atheism to Christianity, the story of C.S. Lewis, famous atheist turned famous Christian. You can find out more about it right there at our website, issuesetc.org. It's on every page of the website, or call Concordia Publishing House and ask for From Atheism to Christianity, 1-800-325-3040. We'll be right back.
We're supported by listeners like you. You're listening to Issues Etc.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Repentance and forgiveness, sin and grace, law and gospel. More than cliches, real preaching for real people in need of hearing the real Christ. Christ for you and the divine service at St. Paul Lutheran Church of Hamel, Illinois, where we gather every Saturday night at 6 and on the Lord's Day, Sunday mornings at 7:45 and 10. Look for the Church of the Neon Cross on I-55 between exits 30 and 33. Find us on the web, stpaullutheranchurchhamel.org. St. Paul Lutheran Church of Hamel, where there is the forgiveness of sins, life and salvation for the people of God.
Celebrate the 500th anniversary of the Reformation with the new Martin Luther plush figure. It features the 16th century reformer holding the Bible and the Luther's morning and evening prayers. Go to reformationgear.com, use the coupon code ISSUESETC, and 20% of your purchase will help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. reformationgear.com, the new Martin Luther plush figure, reformationgear.com, and enter the coupon code ISSUESETC.
Do you dread going to work out? Performance Fitness in Edwardsville offers a fun, supportive, tight-knit community and environment. Visit them on the web at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. 618-692-5063 or performancefitness618.com. Performance Fitness of Edwardsville.
Do you long for a church where the gospel of the sinner's free justification is front and center, and yet where a robust sacramental life is confessed and lived? Do you long for a church that rejoices in the sacred scriptures as the sole basis for the church's teaching and proclamation, yet values and listens to the witness of the ancient fathers and councils? Welcome to the Lutheran Church. We are what you've been looking for. Find a Christ-centered, cross-focused church near you on the Find the Church page at issuesetc.org.
Did you know that you can listen to our 24/7 talk and music stations using Amazon Echo? All you have to do is say, Alexa, play Lutheran Public Radio.
Lutheran Public Radio.
Or, Alexa, play Lutheran Talk Radio.
Lutheran Talk Radio.
Own thing, you know, there's this recognition that unrighteous mammon.
Lutheran music, Lutheran talk, anytime, day or night, on Amazon Echo.
Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc., part 11 of our series on Christian devotion. Today, Martin Luther's fourfold strand prayer, the second strand being Thanksgiving. Pastor Brian Wolfmuller is our guest. He is pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in Aurora, Colorado, co-host of a weekly radio talk show called Table Talk Radio, and he's author of the new resource, The Devotional Challenge Book. Brian, one of the things that strikes me as we work through this, our listeners are working through it step by step with us, those who use the resource week by week, they're thinking, you know, there are fourfold strands to this prayer, but we're only up to strand two. It strikes me that there's really no hurry in building this discipline of Christian devotion and prayer.
That's right. That's right. I mean, we're working on habits here, and I wrote this thing just for myself. I mean, I'm the worst at this. So, I mean, I need it more than anybody else, and because I got all sorts of terrible habits. I get distracted by everything. And so to slow down and to take a week and to focus on the Lord's gifts in the text and to form the habit of asking the question, what is there to be thankful here? This is what we're after. And this then has, this will bear fruit for the rest of our lives. I mean, there's always that temptation to miss the Lord's gifts. I mean, it's just the weirdest thing, isn't it, Todd? I mean, I did something stupid to my back last night, and so I'm tweaky on the middle of my back. Now, everything else, head to foot, is fine. You know, my whole body is fine. But what do I think about whenever I move around? Is that sore little tiny muscle that's on my back? We just our minds and our hearts are like the same are the same way. We always are pulled towards the negative, towards the thing that's wrong, towards the affliction or whatever it is, and we're that easily taken away from giving thanks. And so this habit of looking at the text and saying what is there to be thankful of here, or even just looking at our lives and, you know, husbands looking at their wives and wives looking at their husbands and parents at their children and children at their parents, Christians at their pastor at their people, and saying, look at the gifts that the Lord has given here. What is there to be thankful for here? And that really is a wonderful thing to do. It's a wonderful habit. It's a wonderful shaping up of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And Luther is really onto something when he gives this to us as the second thing that we pull from the Scriptures when it's time to pray.
I want you to make another connection here, and it's not so much in prayer, although the name itself is derived from a great prayer that is connected to the Lord's Supper. Christians refer to the Lord's Supper as the Eucharist, which just means thanksgiving. And it drives its name there from a prayer that begins, "We give you thanks, oh God." Talk about this daily Thanksgiving connected to that, what we'll call here, the great Thanksgiving of the Lord's gifts in His Word and Sacraments.
Yeah, that's right. So it's Christians are giving thanks to God for no matter what He's giving. So that the Lord gives a small thing, we give thanks to Him. The Lord gives a big thing, we give thanks to Him. But the great Thanksgiving is not so much of the kind of excitement with which it is offered by the Christian or by the church, but rather it has to do with the gift that the Lord is giving. And the greatest gift that the Lord gives to us, at least in this life, is the gift of His Word and the body and blood of His Son. So that when we come to the Lord's body and blood in the supper, we give thanks to the Lord because of this tremendous gift that we could never attain or achieve on our own. It's such a phenomenal treasure that that's all you can do. I mean, there's no way. And this is what's so great, is that when, you know, it might be that in this life, when someone gives us something, we might be tempted to, you know, try to pay him back. Someone bought me lunch the other day, and I thought, now I owe you one. I'm going to buy them lunch back. But with the Lord Jesus, it's really, He gives us gifts that are so phenomenal that that thought is taken out completely out of the picture, at least it should be, that His gifts are so phenomenal that there is no way that we could pay them back. There's no way that we could afford them. All the riches of all of the universe piled up could not pay for a nibble of the Lord's body and one sip of His blood. It's just the value of it is beyond any sort of comprehending or imagining. So that any thought of payback is taken out of the picture, and so that all there is to do is give thanks, to thank the Lord for His mercy. And so the great Thanksgiving is this acknowledgement that the gifts that the Lord Jesus is giving, when He gives Himself over to death, when He gives Himself to us in the supper, when He gives His mercy to us in the absolution, that when He gives heaven and the Spirit to us completely undeserved, completely out of His free mercy, there's nothing we can do to pay Him back. All we can do is give Him thanks for these gifts. And so the great Thanksgiving is an acknowledgement that the Lord's gifts are so phenomenal that there's nothing for us to do except for rejoice in those gifts.
Finally, with only about a minute here, Brian, should we also grow accustomed to giving thanks for things that we don't want, but God gives nonetheless?
That's right. When we realize, and this is tough, I'm not going to pretend like it's not, but this is, I think, part of our Christian wisdom and also our Christian maturity. When we realize that all the things in this life come from the hands of the God who loves us, and like that Romans text that we mentioned earlier says, that He gave Himself up for us, how shall He not also together with Him give us all things? That everything we have in this life, good things and even bad things, come from the Lord, then we are giving thanks to God even for the difficult times. Paul says we rejoice in suffering. We give thanks to God in affliction. We praise the Lord even in trouble. And so the answer to your question is yes, because and not that we're giving thanks for the trouble, but we're giving thanks to God. We're giving thanks because we know where the trouble comes from God our Father who loves us. And if He is willing to give His Son over to death for us, that means that all the afflictions in this life come to us from His love and for our good. It might not seem like it or feel like it to us, but all things do work together for good for those who love God and are called according to His purposes. So we walk trusting in that and therefore giving thanks in all circumstances. So there's a way that we thank God for death, that we thank God for sickness, that we thank God for affliction, because we know even though we can't see it or feel it, we know that He has these things for us precisely because He loves us. It can't be any other way, because Jesus has died and raised and is raised, and so it must be that all the things in this life are from not only God, but from God's love.
Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in Aurora, Colorado. He is co-host of a weekly radio talk show called Table Talk Radio, and he's author of the new resource, The Devotional Challenge Book. Brian, thank you very much for being our guest.
Hey, Todd, you're welcome. Before you let me go, I wanted to say, I know you guys have this conference coming up in June really quick, and you guys advertise it as the conference for the laity, and when I was there last year, it occurred to me how right that is I mean, how you guys have done such a fantastic job of crafting this conference, not for professional theologians, but for lay theologians. And I think for all the people who are coming, I want to encourage them to think of who they can bring with them if you guys have any spots open, because this is a great chance to expose, especially people who are maybe not that into theology or people who are into theology but don't know the Lutheran confessions. This is a great opportunity to expose them to that. So I'd like to encourage all your listeners who are coming to think of who they can bring with them.
Folks, it's not too late to register for the 5th Annual Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, June the 9th and Saturday, June the 10th in Collinsville, Illinois, about 15 miles east of St. Louis. You can meet and hear regular guests Chris Roseboro, Terry Mattingly, Matt Harrison, Peter Bender, Todd Peppercorn, and Aaron Wolf. Registration is $120. That includes dinner on Friday and lunch and dinner on Saturday. Learn more and register at issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385, 618-223-8385. It's the premier conference for Christian laity, the 2017 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 9th and 10th in Collinsville, Illinois. Brian, thanks.
You got it.
Wednesday on Issues Etc., we'll talk with Aaron Wolf about liberalism and freedom of speech. We'll also discuss Esther with Dr. Phil Penhaligon, and we'll talk with Dr. Joel Heck about C.S. Lewis's conversion. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.